Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets.
As overall markets gained massively from the March lows, mid and small cap stocks saw a blockbuster rally in the last 9 months. After the markets crashed in March, BSE small cap index rallied 97% and BSE mid cap jumped 81%, outpacing both Sensex and Nifty, which have gained around 75% in the period. Earnings revival in the smaller stocks is also picking up. So, is the euphoria around mid and small cap stocks a mere irrational exuberance, or do the stocks have any fundamental support? How will mid and small cap stocks perform in 2021? To understand that, I'm in conversation with Amit Khurana, Head of Equities at Dolat Capital. Hi Amit, welcome to the show.
Hi Nasreen.
So Amit, since we are talking about the blockbuster rally that we saw in small and mid caps, why don't you take me through what actually led to this rally?
Well, thank you for inviting me to this forum. I think there are a lot of structural as well as tactical reasons that one can associate with this kind of rally that we have seen in mid-cap and small-cap over the last few months. The quick tactical reasons that I would like to put forward is an immediate positive news on corona cases coming off and the likely introduction of a vaccine, which has given a confidence back to the investors, to the economy and markets at large. Having said that, it is also important to realize that the rally that we are now witnessing is not something that is completely unanticipated because of the structural factors that we were going through. In fact, last year in November and December, this time around, we had actually called for an outperformance of mid-cap and small-cap stocks for the year CY20. Based on the structural factors, which is a significant consolidation of their balance sheets and business functions, a significant realignment of their efficiencies due to the GST amalgamation, the overall system was coming back on track.
Right.
And third, very, very important, the balance sheet strength that they had been able to gather in 3 to 4 years was beginning to show in their margins and in their return ratios.
In the small cap especially, we have seen almost over 90% rally since March lows. That's one of the fantastic rally sectorial-wise, and that's outperformed both the Sensex and Nifty, their benchmarks, and similar stories there in the mid-cap segment as well. What I want to ask you is, despite this blockbuster rally in both mid and small caps, this indices have not touched their record highs as compared to the Sensex and Nifty. Both mid and small caps had touched record highs in 2018, and from then we had actually fallen off, and we have not yet touched that. So, any reason why both mid and small caps have not yet touched their record highs?
Well, there can be a couple of ways to look at it. One, obviously, some of the sectors and stocks are not in as great a shape, and therefore their contribution to this entire rally is not as, shall I say, evident, and may not be evident as we go along. The second way to look at it is, I would not be too bothered about whether they've touched all-time highs. Eventually, they will. I mean, whenever earnings trajectory starts supporting those kind of valuations, they will eventually come into play. But the very nature of these mid-cap and small-cap companies tends to be that they tend to be laggard in the first up move in the market. And of course, this is not something that we're seeing the first time. I mean, even the big bull market that we saw in 2003 to 2008, the first move was led by large caps, and then the mid caps and the small caps followed. And you know, the last leg of the bull market, the mid caps and small caps were doing extremely well. I don't see a very different situation this time. In fact, they are beginning to show signs of a significant earnings trajectory, which is turning better. In fact, let me give you a statistic. This is the first time that we had our ratio of upgrades to downgrades being at the highest in 6 quarters. And that was significantly led by the mid-cap and small-cap coverage universe that we have. I mean, we cover about 150 stocks, two-thirds of them fall.
This is after the September quarter earnings, right?
That's right. That's right. We cover close to about 90 to 100 odd businesses, which are classic domestic consumption-led, classic export models, which are now beginning to reflect an earnings trajectory which will be far better in FY 22 and 23. And therefore, the catch-up towards all-time highs will eventually play out. I'm not too really worried about that part. I think what is important for us to realize is that there is a lot of earnings delta, which is yet to play out.
Right. We'll talk about the earnings a bit later. But before that, 2017 and 18, as you mentioned, that first the benchmarks at Sensex and Nifty, the large caps, actually led the rally. And then the mid and the small caps joined it. But after 2017, we saw both mid and small caps falling off. And most many stocks which had gathered a lot of, had actually outperformed. They had started losing shareholder interest. And they started falling off. And many analysts called it as an irrational exuberance that had driven those stocks ahead. And there was no fundamental support to those stocks then. Do you think that at the current times, we are also probably seeing a repeat of what we saw in 2017 and 18, when small and mid-cap stocks is actually following up the rally because a lot of investors are there in the market. There is a feeling of missing out, and hence stocks with no fundamental support are also joining the rally.
Okay, that's a great question, Nasreen. Let me give a little bit of a context to that. 2017-18 rally, if you would recall, was essentially led by the financial sector, and within that, the NBFC space primarily. And they were the biggest beneficiaries of the demonetization. They got huge inflows, the banks got huge inflows, and they didn't want to lend the money, and therefore NBFCs went on a lending spree, making the spread, and that also had an impact on the operations of the mid-cap and small-cap borrowers. Okay.
Right.
Now, having said that, there were also factors which were not supported, and one of the biggest factors which was not as supported was that you had the implementation of GST in July 2017.
Right.
And a lot of these businesses were not completely aligned at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you had the situation in 2018 when the rates started moving up and the spread started coming off. And with the earnings support not being as evident, the whole rally petered out.
Mm.
I see a very major change in this rally. And let me sort of give a quick flavor to that. One, as I said in my opening remarks, GST realignment is now complete for mid and small cap businesses. In fact, some of these businesses will become significantly large, gaining share from unorganized to organized, or within their spaces, companies have consolidated. So the mid has become, so the small has become mid, and mid will eventually become large.
Right.
That's one. Secondly, this time I feel that the structural reforms taken by the government are far more convincing, especially the move to encourage manufacturing. Let us realize India as a country, as an economy, is services driven, and a lot of these manufacturing, which was small scale driven, mid-sized companies, were not able to move up because of lack of policy support. And we've written as a house on this, that the PLI scheme is probably one of the comprehensive initiatives taken by any government in the last 3 decades to revive manufacturing. And you're beginning to see that play, and markets begin to react to that. So I would say that the factors are far more deeper here, which will support these. And therefore, the confidence level is relatively higher, I would say, versus the 17-18 up move that we saw.
Absolutely. Okay, I got your point. You were talking about earnings in September quarter. Of course, it was a better than expected quarter, mostly led by the festive demand for in many of the sectors, starting from auto to consumer stocks. But as an analyst, do you see this earnings growth sustaining in the next few quarters of this fiscal? Especially, I'm talking about the smaller companies which form the mid and small cap segment.
Okay, so you are looking at the second half. I would expect a bit of a normalization to the second half versus the first half. See, the first quarter was a complete washout. The second quarter was far superior, much better than the expectations, led by cost controls and a release of the pent-up demand. That pent-up demand has probably played out in Q3, but eventually it will normalize. Okay, sort of bigger influencing factor on being positive on these stocks is the FY22 and 23 trajectory for mid and small. It is the first time in a decade that we are now seeing earnings consensus and upgrades towards high teens for these names.
Okay.
We had the downgrade cycle happening in 2011. It went on till 14. Then you had a cycle from 15 till 17, 18, but it did not deliver. Okay, and then we were hoping that it will start delivering in FY21, but then COVID struck everybody. Hopefully, we are now in a much better environment, and therefore, my sense is that over the next 2 to 3 years, I would be pretty comfortable talking about a high teens kind of an earnings growth for these companies at an aggregate level. Some will do obviously far better. They could be even doing 25-30% growth. Some may be more 10% to 20% growth. But at an aggregate level, we are probably looking at a 17-18% kind of an earnings growth, which actually was the case in 2003 to 2008 cycle.
Right. But I'm very curious to know, Amit, when we entered COVID in March this year, the earnings itself was not so... It was not very steady because there was a lot of pockets of weakness. Economy was struggling and a few consumer-focused sectors like auto, FMCG, most of the sectors were actually struggling to meet, to get more demand. What leads your bullishness towards earnings revival in FY22 and 23?
A fair point. But I would also highlight the data which we had gone through, and that became the supporting data wherein we were seeing banks beginning to talk about a credit pickup.
Right.
Around the same time, by the way. Okay. I mean, March, we probably lost 10, 15 days. But if you look at the December earnings and what we were building up in the run-up to March quarterly earnings was a much better earnings trajectory.
Right.
Our sense is that is going to come back now. And probably have a couple of quarters of delay here and there. The factors were the same. Essentially, as I said, business consolidation, demand coming back for discretionary, real estate beginning to form a bottom. That was the case even in November, December, and it is actually even corrected more versus those levels. And,
right.
You know, for example, I mean, a classic case that we're seeing, and the leader on mortgage financing in India, HDFC, is doing the highest disbursals in the October month in their history. And that's a classic demand coming into play, and that will drive the demand for a lot of other products and services which are driven by mid-cap and small-cap companies.
Right. Amit, do you agree that this is a very unique bull market in the sense that we have, of course, gone 20% up from the lows that we saw in March? We are, in fact, more than 70% up from March lows as far as the overall market goes. But at the same time, we are also in recession. Technically, we are in recession because we had two consecutive quarters of low GDP. How does these two factors, these are very divergent factors, pan out for small and mid-cap stocks, especially because the stocks are smaller companies, they don't have that much of CapEx capacity or CapEx ability or that much of free cash flow in their books as compared to the larger companies. So how does these two contrasting factors in the market work out for the stocks?
70% move up also has to be seen in the context that we went down by 40% on the indices in 39 days.
Right.
Okay. I've never seen that. I mean, we took out the entire history of the Sensex, the Nifty, and all the other indices. Never have we gone down by 40% in 39 days. Okay. So this rebound was expected in the sense that COVID cases came under control. Okay. The reason why they went down, the reason went off, and the markets rebounded. Let's look at in terms of how these companies are able to run their operations in an environment when the GDP is contracting. That, to my mind, is again a post facto indicator. That's not a lead indicator. The markets reacted to the GDP contraction much earlier. And the moment they got the confidence that we've seen the worst of GDP and the economy, they formed the bottom.
Right.
So markets will tend to be a lead indicator of how they see the next 6 months, 12 months. And to our understanding, whatever we talk to, we do a lot of primary research, talk to corporate, we talk to a lot of other stakeholders. We are beginning to see, in fact, a situation where some of these mid-cap and small-cap companies are now beginning to talk about capex plans. And I'll tell you how do we corroborate that? Very key drivers of that comes into play? What are the utilization levels going to be for the next 12 months?
Right.
And any capex would tend to be at least be planned in advance 12 to 18 months.
Right. So which sector would this be in the small and mid caps?
Okay. So you're seeing that happening in pipes, which is classic small and mid cap. You're beginning to see that in paints, where the smaller companies are beginning to come into play. You are beginning that to be seen even in cement for that matter.
Right.
Okay. You're going to see that even in some of the more export-led sectors, chemicals, classic case, agrochemicals, another case in point. You're seeing capex in ethanol capacity buildup, which is again one of the unique initiatives taken by the government.
Right.
You're seeing capex in import substitution sectors.
So this is very interesting because generally capex is the last thing that companies do when they are struggling with money and with capital. If they are building on capex, that's definitely a very growth prospects for these businesses, right?
That's exactly the point I was making, that the capex that they're planning now will not drive 22 and 23, that will drive 24 and 25. But the planning for that, order placement for that starts happening now.
Okay.
Because they expect the utilization levels to start moving towards 70, 75%, 80%, and that's when the company start planning for capex.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what drives your bullishness.
Absolutely.
And your
optimism. Absolutely.
Towards the mid and small caps. So Amit, thanks a lot for that insightful details and the conversation. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nasreen.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.